The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 16. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the sixth chapter. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we heard of Jesus and his disciples going away in a boat to a desolate place to rest for a while. When they came to the desolate shore, however, their plans suddenly change. A great crowd was there, and Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. As you'll remember, the teaching went on throughout the day. And then, as evening neared, Jesus had the people sit down, and he blessed 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then his disciples distributed that food to the crowd, and they all ate and were satisfied. Because we celebrated the festival of St. James the Elder Apostle last week, we missed out on hearing Jesus walking on the sea and meeting his disciples who were having a difficult time making headway because the wind was against them. With the reading from John today, however, we pick up the narrative with the crowd arriving in Capernaum the next day, seeking Jesus. At least that's what they thought they were doing. As Jesus talks with them, he distinguishes between seeking him and seeking something to eat. It becomes clear fairly quickly that the crowd saw finding Jesus not as an end in itself, but as the means to more abundant and free meals. The blessing of that free meal those people had received in the wilderness became something of a curse to them. There's an old saying which holds that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. The events on the shore of the Sea of Galilee nearly 2,000 years ago suggest that the only thing you'll capture through a man's stomach is his stomach. Jesus certainly didn't capture the hearts of those thousands with the food that he provided them. The many things that he taught seem to have been overwhelmed or forgotten once the people sat down and filled their bellies at Jesus' all-you-can-eat fish and bread buffet. That's not the first time something of that sort happened. In the reading from Exodus, we heard part of the history of how manna came to be. The children of Israel were only a month out of Egypt, and they were longing to return to slavery. They grumbled against Moses and his brother Aaron, and against the Lord. They remembered Egypt as a place where they had all they wanted of tasty meat and bread. And they weren't happy with their fare in the wilderness. Suddenly they didn't care about the Lord their God bringing them up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, meant nothing to them. They were certain that they would die of hunger before they ever got there. They didn't trust the Lord's promises. They didn't trust the Lord. In response to their grumbling, the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the 6th day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." "That I may test them," the Lord said. It was a testing that lasted more than 14,600 consecutive days. For the people of Israel ate manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. And many of the children of Israel didn't do so well in the testing. They didn't follow the Lord's instructions concerning the manna, trying to save it overnight, or thinking to gather it also on the Sabbath. refusing to take the Lord at his word. As Moses would explain at the close of those 40 years, the Lord humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The most precious bread our Lord had given the crowd on that desolate shore of the Sea of Galilee was the many things that he taught them that day. But like their ancestors nearly 15 centuries earlier, as far as they were concerned, the bread and the fish in abundance were far more important than any words Jesus had spoken. Jesus worked that day in Capernaum to redirect their hunger, to get them to hunger and thirst for the precious bread he could provide to them, bread that would bring them righteousness and peace with God. He said to them, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." In other words, you're seeking me for the wrong reason. The miracles that I have performed were never intended as an end in themselves. They identify me for who I am and point to the true gift that I bring. Stop focusing on the things that belong only to this life. Seek what will endure for eternity, the gift that I came to bring. Do not work for food that spoils. Stop focusing on the things that belong only to this life. Would Jesus say that same thing to you and to me? Many years ago, my sisters and I would sometimes spend hot summer afternoons with our neighbors playing a board game under a tree or in someone's backyard. Often it was the game of life. There was an element of luck to that game, but there were also many choices along the way. Go to college or not. Purchase various kinds of insurance or not. Get married. Have a career. Always, of course, hoping for the highest salary. There were also pitfalls and shortcuts on the way to the finish line. Retirement. The goal was not to be the first to the finish, but rather to finish with the most. Whoever had the biggest stack of cash at the end was the winner. Of course, it was just a game, but in a not very subtle way, it reflected what our society, and indeed many cultures around the world, identify as the chief purpose of life. Accumulate as much as you can so that you can have a comfortable life. And when you can retire, you can live in millionaire acres. When the game was over, all the play money would be sorted and everything would be packed away until the next time when the pursuit of bread in the form of money would be repeated. Even now, very many years later, that game reflects a fair bit of how our world works. Except the game missed one very important fact. It didn't go far enough, for life doesn't end with retirement. Life ends with death. And when it ends, everyone is equal. Someone once told me, you never see a hearse towing a U-Haul trailer. Or as one of the very wealthy men in Scripture phrased it, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. That crowd in Capernaum responded to Jesus with a pertinent question. You said, labor for the food that endures to eternal life. What sort of labor is this? What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. But then the crowd seems to have gotten impatient. They asked Jesus to do a sign so that they could see it and believe. They even suggested a sign they'd like to see. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, you know. Why don't you do that? That'll surely convince us. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They were sold on that. Now you're talking our language, they thought. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. But unfortunately, their thoughts were still focused on their bellies. So Jesus becomes even more clear. Don't look for manna from heaven. Believe in me. The Father has sent me down from heaven. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus wants you, wants me, to know that trusting in him will bring true contentment and lasting satisfaction. What human beings hunger and thirst for is finally and fully satisfied by only one thing. Jesus. It's all in his name. Jesus means Yahweh, that is, the Lord saves. Seeking Jesus, you are seeking the Lord's salvation. Why seek Jesus? Not, he tells us, in order to gain more earthly benefits. That's not why he came. Just as the manna in the wilderness went bad if one tried to save it beyond the day it was gathered, so anything that you and I can accumulate on earth is subject to theft or decay. It will not endure to eternal life. What we can gather here is no better than perishable food. The reason for seeking him, Jesus teaches, is because he has his Father's seal of approval. And believing in him, trusting every word that proceeds from his mouth, you too receive approval of Jesus' Father. When the people ask Jesus, what must we do to be doing the works of God, Jesus' answer was brief and to the point. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. That is, that you cling to Jesus in faith. If you look to Jesus and trust in him, you will not find yourself at loose ends when life ends. For Jesus is the one who came down from heaven in order to give life to the world, in order to give life to you. What Jesus is teaching the crowd here is nothing other than what he taught Nicodemus, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, Jesus came down from heaven in order to give life to the world by giving his life, by suffering and dying the death your sin had earned for you, so that through faith you, along with all who believe in him, might receive the Father's approval and be adopted as children whom he loves and with whom he is well pleased. God grant you always to seek Jesus, not for earthly benefits, but for that greatest gift that he came to bring, himself, bread that endures to eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.